first of all, Jim, tell me why programs like this are important.
Well, I mean, African Americans have contributed tremendously to the history of the United States. And, of course, as we all know, for many years, that was kept relatively under wraps, not promoted as much as it should have been, given the significance of so many things that have happened. So I believe, you know, in terms of the creation of African American History Month, it has the same purpose to sort of bring all of that history. I mean, African Americans have been here since the 1600s. Bring that history forward and let's talk about it to a degree that it deserves, given the importance of that contribution to our country's history.
Absolutely. You know, the programs, the amount of programs are too numerous to talk about all of them. But let's go into some of them in great detail.
Sure.
There's one happening on Saturday, February the 8th. It's called The Summers Family, A Generational Story. Tell people what that's all about.
Oh, that's a great program, and it's a definite Delaware connection. Of course, we know that African Americans have been in Delaware since the beginning, and of course, Delaware was a state that did permit slavery. So, a very interesting story about the Summers family that our historians researched through archival research, and what the story is about is in the late 1700s. There was a family called the Summers family. The father's name was James Summers. He was a free African American, so he was not enslaved, and he was free. However, his children were enslaved, and they were owned in the state here. And so James Summers purchased his own children from the slave master, and then he went to the recorder of deeds in the old state house. That room is still there, and it's been restored to look exactly like it did at the time of the of this incident. He went there, and he filed to manumit his own children. So, and manumit means to free from slavery.
I was going to ask what that meant, because I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, and you know, of course, there were many slaveholders who did manumit their slaves, including John Dickinson, who manumitted all of the slaves that he owned on his farm, which is located just to the southeast of Dover. And he was one of the only founding fathers that did that prior to the Constitution.
All right, so this show is coming up on Saturday, February the 8th. It's not a show, it's more of a program.
Yes.
And we'll put more information up on the website about it, but I want to move on to another one, another program happening on Saturday, February 15th.
Okay.
It's called African Americans on the Eastern Shore. Now, this is a big one because it covers the entire Eastern Shore.
Right.
And Harriet Tubman is mentioned in this program.
Right. Now, this program is being presented by Jim Blackwell, and he is the curator for the Seaford Museum and the Ross Plantation. So I don't know a lot about what Jim's going to be talking about, but for sure we know one thing, and that he's going to be talking about Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman was owned by a family named Ross in Maryland, and I'm not positive if there's a connection between that Ross and the Ross that lived in Delaware, who was a governor, Governor William Henry Harrison Ross. He was a governor of Delaware and a slave owner, and his plantation is still, it's a museum, the Ross Plantation in Seaford. And that is the only place in the state of Delaware that has an existing slave quarters from the time prior to the Civil War. So Governor Ross and the family that owned Harriet Tubman may have a relation. They probably are related. But Harriet Tubman escaped from the farm in Maryland and made her way to Pennsylvania. And then from there, repeatedly returned to Maryland and Delaware and brought many slave families out of the state and into freedom in Pennsylvania. So the Eastern Shore was really sort of the front lines of the journey from slavery to freedom, because after Delaware, you were in relative freedom. I say relative freedom because there was the fugitive slave laws, which allowed slave owners to find their quote-unquote property and bring them back anywhere in the United States. So as it turned out, many slave families were not comfortable staying even in the North and had to make their way completely up into Canada.
I think a lot of people are going to want to attend this program called African Americans on the Eastern Shore, because I, for one, am fascinated with Harriet Tubman and just everything that surrounded her life. So, again, we'll put all the information up on our website about that. There's another program on Saturday the 15th as well called the African American Experience in Delaware. Tell us about this one.
Again, we're going to be talking about the history from the earliest days through, well, even, I mean, this will cover to the 20th century. So we're talking about the experience that black people have had in this state and the difficult times they lived through in the through days of slavery and then into segregation and the period after the Civil War up until the time of the passage of the Civil Rights Act, etc. And of course, even to this day, there are vestiges of the problems that occurred as a result of the original stain of slavery. And our black people in Delaware have that part of their history and their legacy, which we're going to try to explain in this in this program.
We want to remind everybody we're talking to Jim Urasek with the Delaware Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs. Now, there is a big program coming up on Saturday, February 22nd, the Women's Suffrage Movement Below the Color Line, an African American History Month program by an historian. I believe his name is Syl. Is it Syl Wolford or Syl Wolford?
I think he's known as Syl.
Syl. Syl will be exploring the struggle for women to gain the right to vote and the role played by black women in the movement. Tell us more about this.
Well, that's going to be a very interesting program. Again, we have a Delaware connection with the suffrage movement. There was a woman named Mary Ann Shadd. She later married a man whose last name was Carey. So historically, she knows Mary Ann Shadd Carey. She was born in Delaware. Her father was the offspring of a Hessian soldier in the British Army and an African-American woman. And they lived in Delaware. He was a free African-American, but they fled to Canada eventually. And Mary Ann became the first publisher of a newspaper, first black woman to publish a newspaper. And she was big in the abolition movement and in the women's suffrage movement. Now, as far as the suffrage movement, segregation was there as well. And many of the white suffragists, while they were sympathetic to the black people and the black women, they did not want to, oftentimes, they did not want to ruffle the feathers of Southern segregationists who were needed to pass a majority of the states to pass the end or to allow women to vote. So they felt they had to acquiesce to the customs of the time. And so they distanced themselves from the black suffragists, although not always, they were in sympathy with them. Sometimes some of the white women in the suffrage movement had just as much sort of racial problems as the general society.
Jim, one more thing I want to point out. Of course, we've been talking to Jim Urasek during the month of February. The Delaware Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs is offering 14 special events at sites across the state, and Jim's been telling us about a lot of them. But an ongoing program is The Path to Freedom, a history of the Underground Railroad in Delaware. This fascinates me as well. Tell people about this.
Okay. That's an exhibit in the Newcastle Courthouse Museum in Newcastle. And it tells the story of the Hawkins family, Emmeline Hawkins and her family. They were escaping slavery with the help of a famous Delawarean whose name was Burris, Samuel Burris. He was a conductor on the Underground Railroad who helped bring the family to northern Delaware, where they were captured and brought to the Newcastle courthouse, where they were held. After a period of time and machinations, they were released, and they were able to escape into Pennsylvania. However, it was found out later that they were actually runaway slaves, and Thomas Garrett, John Hunn, were two abolitionists in Delaware, aided in their escape, and they were tried in the Newcastle Courthouse Museum for aiding in the escape of this family, and they were fined and lost all of their personal property. And this all took place right in the museum courtroom, and you can see the museum the way it appears now as it did during the time of the court trial. And so this exhibit tells the story of the Hawkins family and of the trial. And it also then has a separate section that talks about trailblazers from Delaware who were African-American trailblazers. And I've already mentioned Samuel Burris and Mary Shad Carey and many, many, many others who have played important roles. Louis Redding, the famous lawyer in the segregation cases and the civil rights cases of the 1960s, and many, many others are highlighted in the exhibit.